Welcome to the Life Outdoors radio show. We thank you for listening, and we hope that you are enjoying what you're hearing. And if you are, please leave some feedback to this station or go over to thelifeoutdoors.org, and that's the Life Outdoors, one word with a Z on the end of the outdoors, .org, and leave us a note over there. We have a forum. You could sign up to be a member on the website itself, and then you'll get all of our notifications of the stuff that's coming up, all the adventure hunts, all of the blog posts and new products that we're putting out as well. Again, we are a nonprofit. We're trying to get people in the outdoors, and we use all the profits from any of the merch that we sell goes into that cause. So if you guys want to become part of helping people hear what we believe God has put on outdoorsmen and what we believe that God is doing in the outdoor world, go over and sign up to be a member and check out what's going on at thelifeoutdoors.org. One of the things that we do believe, and you know, me being a veteran from two different services, I was in the Coast Guard and the Air Force, and being in the Coast Guard, I learned a lot about young men, manhood, adventure. That's kind of one of the big reasons I joined the Coast Guard, was to get up to Alaska so I could hunt and fish up there. But being able to get out and get in situations that are a little bit out of my hands. So, and I've liked to do that with most of my life. As I for some reason, I read a book. It was called In the Shadow of the Almighty when I was a teenager. And, you know, my walk with the Lord as a teenager wasn't the best in the world, but this book resonated with me because it was talking about a man named Jim Elliot, and he was full of adventure, and he was close to my family. My family, you know, started in Portland, and he was part of that group up there, and he, you know, went through a lot of the same places that my family did around that area, so I could relate to him really well. If you guys don't know who Jim Elliot is, he was a missionary that went down to South America and was killed trying to reach the people of a tribe in South America there. And later on, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, went in and reached those same people, the same people that actually speared him, became the leaders of the church of that tribe. So it's an interesting and a very God-filled story, and but it's all one of the big things about it was through this book, In the Shadow of the Almighty, a lot of his pre-missionary days, he kept memoirs and he kept a diary, and so you can go through and read all of that. And it caught me because he loved adventure. He was full of adventure, and that's one of the things that I just when I see that. It just grabbed my soul, and it put me on a course of where my life is now. My life has been lived for adventure, sometimes not for the right type of adventure. Sometimes I just made up my own adventure, and I tried to live just to be adventurous. But adventure actually calls you to something greater, something bigger. And Jim would definitely agree with that. Matter of fact, as he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot gain and what he cannot, and to keep what he cannot lose. So, he understood that his life was here for a purpose and meaning, and there was only one meaning and purpose that it was here for. And I think we've lost that in our culture. I think that we don't understand that, you know, in the Coast Guard, we were in the 90s. It was a whole different atmosphere in the service than it has been. And, you know, I just got out in 2023. And it was a whole different feeling. In the 90s, everybody was giving of themselves. It seemed like in the later sessions, not that people weren't giving of themselves in the later times, but there was a lot more of what's the service going to do for me as well. One of the things that I did like about the service, and one of the things I think that coincides with being in the service and doing, you know, the stuff outdoors, is it puts you in circumstances where you have to rely on something bigger than yourself. Elk hunting and save and war have those things in common. And I think that's why we started Life Outdoors, because I know the value of being where you can't do anything of yourself. And I understand that. I understand the value of that, because now you have to look on something bigger and outside of yourself to sustain yourself and save yourself. And I see that every time that I kill an elk and I spill its blood, I understand that if we didn't eat, if we didn't kill to eat, and you kill everything that you eat, if we didn't kill to eat, we would die. And so there was a sacrifice made on our stead, and it points straight to who Jesus is. And that's because that's reality, and he's the creator of reality. So that's why we get in these circumstances. That's why we believe that the Life Outdoors is standing in that area. Now, the story that I'm going to tell you today, I would never want to happen in the Life Outdoors, but it's also something that has woke the wild within me, that showed me that there is something much greater than myself. It all started on a spring goose hunt. A buddy of mine and I decided that we were going to go spring goose hunting, and we had this great idea. We were going to go over to the Wood River Wetlands, which is just, it's over in Klamath, and it's a BLM piece of wetlands, and it's surrounded by a dike, and they flooded these old pastures, and it just pulls birds in there left and right. But the problem was, is the fringes of it were all by a road, so it got hunted pretty heavy on the fringes. So if you could walk all the way around the perimeter of this thing. So the geese would go towards the middle. You know, after the first couple of weeks of the season, the geese would just go right in towards the middle. And we came up with this idea. I had this little 12-foot John boat with a little mud motor on it. And we took our goose decoys and Gunner at the time, my dog Gunner, and our shotguns and some shells. And we went down through there, and the goose decoys were so many, we put them up front that you couldn't see over the bow. But we didn't pay much attention to that. So we took it down the slough, drug it over the bank, put it into this flooded pasture land. Now, this pasture land had these ditches that run parallel to each other throughout the whole 4,000 acres. And that's how it used to get irrigated. They would irrigate out of these ditches. So our plan was, we'd go in there and we would put the boat in, and then we'd run these ditches. And so we were running the ditches for sure, going through there. Everything was like really working out the way that we thought it was going to. I had a little 8-horsepower mud motor, and it didn't plane us, but we didn't plow too bad either. But we weren't paying attention to what was going on up front, because the decoys were, you know, in the way. We couldn't even see the bow. And so everything was going good, and then we turned into the wind, and we started heading perpendicular to it, and right in the middle of this thing. So we're probably 4 or 5 miles out there, and we're getting right in the middle, and we're going into the wind, and we didn't realize as we were going into the wind that water was coming over the bow. And with all the decoys up there, you didn't know. And with two full-sized adults, a dog, and all those decoys and our guns and our shells, we didn't have a whole lot of freeboard in the first place. Well, as we're going through, the boat decided that it was a submarine. And that's all I can describe it as, because that's exactly how it went. It was like down periscope. The bow fell underwater. The mud motor pushed it under, you know, before I could get it shut down, it pushed it under another 10 feet. And all of a sudden we found ourselves going over. Gunner thought it was great. He thought we were all just going swimming. Now, the cool thing about it was these ditches were only probably 35 feet wide. So, but they were deep. They were super deep, probably 10 foot deep. And so my buddy who was up front, Tucker, was a Marine. And the first thing, when he went over to Afghanistan as a Marine, and so he's pretty, you know, battle hardened, knows how to think in situations and things like that. And I was in the Coast Guard, and so, you know, we're both, well, we need to swim. And being a Marine, you don't leave your rifle behind. So he grabbed both of the shotguns, and we're in waders, mind you. I shouldn't be telling this story, but we're in both the shotgun. He had both shotguns, and he's kicking, laying, and doing a back kick. Laying on his back, kicking, and he's kicking hard enough with the shotguns in his hand without using, and he's keeping his head above water, and kicking towards the shore, and I'm swimming over, and Gunner, my dog, thinks that Tucker's having a great time and goes by and tries stepping on him and everything else. We get to the shore, and all of our decoys are just floating out in the middle, and the boat is upside down. And those mud motors, I don't know if you know how they're attached, but they have a pin that comes up from the transom mount. And then that pin, it just slides down over that pin. And then you put a nut on it. But I never put the nut on because you got to pull the nut to take it back off. And when we transport it, we took the engine completely off. So the engine fell off the back of it. So the boat's floating upside down. And then another thing that was peculiar about that engine is the fact that it had a remote gas tank. So we had a regular boat motor gas tank on it and probably about 6 foot of hose. So we get to the edge and we're, mind you, we're probably about the only people out there in the wetland, and we're so far away from the dock, or even, I mean, we could walk out, but it's going through tules and the marsh. And could you imagine walking that back? And we didn't know what to do. These are the only situations you get into when you go and you start doing things outdoors. I was out in the marsh yesterday, duck hunting, and I watched some young guys get out of their boat, and they decided they're going to go jump shoot the marsh. And they got themselves stuck in a spot over there. We could hear them way across the marsh, and it was starting to get dark on them. And they were having to push. And I could just remember those days that these are the things that push you and make you something, make you have to look to something greater than yourself. A lot of times we get ourselves in these stupid situations, but then we start praying to get back out of them. And that's exactly what Tucker and I were doing. We're like, what are we going to do here? And we didn't have any ideas, really. But the one thing that we did know is that the boat's upside down and we could see the gas tank floating. So we know that that fuel line's still attached to that motor down there somewhere. The motor itself, I shut it off before we went completely over, which I don't know why. I just did. And so we know that that's all the way it was, but it was still out there quite a ways, you know. And the way that duck gear is, if you got good duck gear, your seams are pretty well tight, you know, and even your waders are tight. We had neoprene waders. So we didn't get a ton of water down our stuff. Of course, we got wet on the ends, but we honestly didn't have a ton of water get into our gear. A lot less than I thought we would. And so we're sitting there and kind of taking into account what we have. And I had a Leatherman in my pocket, which was cool. I was like, well, that's something. And all of our shotguns were there. I still had shells in my jacket. And I started pulling off layers and started checking. And sure enough, there wasn't, we were pretty dry in spots. Now, like our arms were pretty wet. What was underneath the waders, like up around our neck, was pretty wet. But it wasn't that bad. And so we started thinking, well, let's. I started stripping down, and it wasn't that, this was spring goose hunting, so it wasn't like we were in December and the wind was blowing and the snow was blowing sideways. So this is, you know, this is one of those places that you're in that you feel like, well, we could deal with this. So we took a step back and started praying and thinking, man, you know, we need to think straight here. Lord, give us some wisdom, smart thinking. But that's all what we need now, because we didn't use any to get here, and we need smart thinking to get out of here. And so that's what we did. I'll tell you how it comes about after the break, you guys. Don't turn off of this, because you want to hear what happens next. It's super crazy, and it's just one of those things that you could only experience if you're out doing this stuff. And this is just one of many things that we experience. And this is kind of like advanced level stuff. Not a lot of people are going to try this until they've, you know, tried other things. So this is something that was built up to. So what we're trying to do here at the Life Outdoors is to get you guys to start thinking about the adventure of your life and get away from a lot of this modern stuff, because you won't know something. You're missing something of Jesus through this. There's a lot of adventure out there, and it's not just in hunting and fishing. But I could, you guys could relate to me because I could relate to it through hunting and fishing. So come back and I'll tell you after the break here, I'll tell you how this story finishes.